Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 383, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. All that I am, I owe to thee. Thy wisdom, Lord, hath fashioned me. I give my Maker thankful praise, whose wondrous works my soul amaze. And what follows? Psalter 383, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 15, the verses 1 through 16. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 15, the first 16 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye accept, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. A greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he will give it you. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, it is in the way of thy providence and in the way of thy mercy that we may be privileged to meet one another by renewal within the walls of thy house of prayer. And when by renewal we attempt to draw nigh unto thee with our unclean lips, thou who art clothed with honor and with majesty, wilt thou also clothe us with that profound reverence and that deep humility, and with the prayer that thou may be the God of us and our children by thy free and sovereign grace. The psalmist of old has declared in the night watches, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Ah, Lord, may it please thee to be mindful of us, and that thou may visit us with the wonderful works of salvation may still be declared, may still be proclaimed, that there is salvation for the chiefest of sinners, and not only that there is salvation, but as a triune God, that thou worketh out that salvation, that thou applieth it to the hearts of the children of men. We humbly beg of thee, how wilt thou do it in this evening hour, that thou may take a branch, a shoot, and that they may be severed from that old Adam, that old stock, and engrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ by the work of thy Spirit, that it may bring forth fruits for thy honor and thy glory. O Lord, thou grantest in other souls mark a day where thou yet profferest peace and pardon. Wilt thou convert our little boys, our little girls, our young people, the middle-aged, younger and older, and also the elderly ones in our midst? Oh, it is true for them, it has become late, but not too late for thee. Thou hast declared in thy word that thou art the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that good work which thou hast begun by thy Spirit, then thou shalt further it. O, thou hast purchased thy people for body and for soul. May there be that holy rejoicing in the things of the Lord. Lord, to that end, wilt thou bless the manifold means of grace in the church from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, but also concerning the instruction of the youth. Lord, we commend unto thee the confession of faith class. Thou knowest what liveth in each heart. O, do grant that precious choice of a Ruth. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And when thou granteth it, then tomorrow evening, then the catechism classes hope to resume. And then there shall be an empty place amongst us, Lord. Then we commend unto thee all the mourning ones. O, place underneath thy everlasting arms. Grant them a place at thy footstool, and at the solemn callings, that they may be sanctified, that they may be used, not forgotten, and that it may not be, as we have heard in this morning hour, that the lords of the Philistines, that they have experienced profound callings and profound matters, but then thou hast recorded in thy word, when they had seen it, they returned to their land, to the city of Ekron. Ah, Lord, work mightily and lovely in the hearts of young and old. To that end, then we humbly ask thee that thou may grant thy gracious help to the instructors, who was able unto those things. May the souls be bound upon the heart. Each time could be the last time, and that in all simplicity to explain the truths of thy holy word, and that there may also be joy in their labors to be given to taste of what they may handle. May fathers and mothers be a help to that end. Wilt thou help them with the instruction in the home and the family circle, and do bless thy holy word in our Christian school. Continue to grant traveling mercies. Help all the instructors and all those that labor in our school. We commend unto thee the school board when they hope to meet in this week, a weighty and responsible task. We also lay before thee the annual meeting of our school. Wilt thou in a special way help the chairman, and that there may be an eye upon the welfare of the upcoming generation. We commend unto thee thy church, the established churches, the persecuted church, the Jewish people, also our mission field, thy servant, and the team. We commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted. There are serious concerns, grave concerns, and they are known unto thee. Oh, do grant a place at thy footstool, and that the solemn callings, that they may be sanctified, that they may be used for the saving of never-dying souls. Well, to grant healing and strengthening to all those that need the same. Remember those that struggle with continual pain and weariness of body and mind. Remember those that are subject to be easily depressed. Oh, uphold them and grant a place at thy footstool. We remember the handicapped ones, the crosses, the burdens. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. We remember our elderly ones, a widow in our midst, hopes to commemorate in the middle of this week, that thou was added an other year unto her years, than thou was wonderfully spared hitherto. Grant her a good day, grant her a visit from above. We commend unto thee a husband and wife toward the end of this week, who hope to commemorate, that thou was spared them for 56 years on the pathway of marriage. Remember them with the family circle. Remember them for body and soul. Remember all of our elderly ones. Remember our Bethesda, all the residents, and those that may lovingly care for them. Remember land and country. 'Tis a month when different elections are being held. Oh, we may yet humbly beseech thee that thou may yet grant tokens of thy mercy, that men may be chosen, that have learned to bow their knees and open thy holy word, asking of thee for wisdom concerning the governing of this country, because it is written in thy word, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ah, Lord, do bless and do remember all of our family circles, bind together in love around thy holy word. And then we also remember our southern neighbor, where also elections hope to be held in the coming month. Oh, Lord, well, thou yet remember that nation in thy mercy, that the great judgments that shall come upon the earth, that they may yet be postponed. We now humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. May our help truly be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Well, thou grant Aaron's and hers, O Lord. Do go from bench to bench, and from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling. And then by renewal we have to confess, sinned away, undeserved, forfeited, but, O Lord, with thee there is mercy. Ah, wilt thou grant more of that godly sorrow that leadeth to that true repentance and the need to be pardoned, to be cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. May then the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 381, the four stanzas. With grateful heart my thanks I bring. Before the great thy praise I sing. I worship in thy holy place and praise thee for thy truth and grace. And what follows, Psalter 381, the four stanzas. the kings of earth shall thank thee, Lord, for thy have heard thy wondrous word. Yea, they shall come with songs of praise, for great and glorious are thy ways. Has that now become our portion, congregation? Then the psalmist was given to speak of the great ones of the earth in the busyness of life, but that by God's free and sovereign grace, they shall thank thee, Lord, for they have heard thy wondrous word. And how often we have heard the wondrous word of God. Death in the first Adam, and life in the second Adam. And for those kings to praise the Lord, then it is necessary, young and old, my fellow travelers to that never-ending eternity, to experience that wondrous word, what it is to be wrought upon as a poor sinner, to experience the wonderful works of God. And then it shall be, oh, it is true, only a small beginning for the church that is above. There it is in perfection, although at the moment only with her souls. But then it shall be what we read in this solemn. And then we read further in that verse, yea, they shall come with songs of praise, for great and glorious are his ways. And of those wonderful ways we may speak of in this evening hour, we ask with the help of the Lord your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 7, and then in this evening, question and answer number 20. Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? Answer, no. Only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. Lord's Day 7, question and answer number 20, speaks of whether all people are saved by the mediator Christ Jesus. And then with three thoughts, in the first place, not for all that perished in Adam. As secondly, only those who are engrafted into Christ. And thirdly, the engrafted who receive his benefits by faith. Whether all people are saved by the mediator Christ Jesus. Not for all that perished in Adam, only those who are engrafted into Christ, and consequently, the engrafted who receive his benefits by faith. Beloved congregation, we have heard the last Sabbath day that only mediator between God and man may be revealed and declared, and that is the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have heard from 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Those are benefits all for the living child when they are born again. Then they are made wise. They are be given to behold reality, and they are given to seek the living God. It is true they have much to unlearn, much to learn, and much to relearn. And then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room in the heart of sinners for that precious Jesus. Then they are redeemed, they are purchased, they are delivered, and also they are sanctified. And now in this Lord's Day, then the instructors come to a very crucial and a very important point. And may that point be impressed upon the hearts of young and old. And then the question is, actually two questions. Has Christ now died for all people that have perished in their covenanted Adam, and will all people be saved? And then we may add a few important questions. Who will be saved? And then further, shall I be saved? Is that a question that weighs heavy upon our hearts, young and old? And let us put that question for the present. Am I now saved by the grace of God, or am I still traveling upon that broad way that leadeth to eternal destruction? Because Christ has said to Nicodemus in John 3 verse 3, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then in our question of this evening, are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? Then the question is, has Christ died for all men? And then the heretics that tell us that Christ has died for all people, then they also have their texts. And therefore it is so important that we always compare Scripture with Scripture. And to that end, our forefathers, they have formulated, when the church was attacked also concerning the truth, concerning this truth, when the church was persecuted, when much blood was shed to that end, the three doctrinal standards. They were formulated. Then we have the Confession of Faith, the Heidelberg Catechism, and the Canons of Dort, with many proof texts to declare to us and our children the truths of God's Word concerning the saving of the Church. And then there are those that they shall come with John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." They say there it is written that God loves the world, that He loves each one equally and alike. But when we study the Scriptures, and then that world that is used in many different ways, and then in the Scriptures, and then we may distinguish seven different meanings of that word world. It can mean the earth, the universe. It can mean refer to the world in its natural state. But it is clear in John 3, verse 16, that it cannot refer to all people upon the world. Because when we read, let us mention Matthew 7, the verses 13 and 14, it is clearly declared that by nature we are on that broad way. And by grace there is a church that has been placed on that narrow way. There are two ways declared. Then many times they also come with Romans 5 verse 18, where it is written the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. There they say it. Upon all men unto justification of life. Who are referred to in that text? And then in Romans 5, then Paul is given to write to the church concerning the two covenants. Then he is written of Adam, the covenant head of the covenant of works, and that all the posterity of Adam that are included in our deep fall. And then he is given to speak of Christ, the covenant head of the covenant of grace. And in that covenant, Christ is represented. He has come to save all the elect. They may also come with 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, that God will have all men to be saved. But then in the context, then it is clear that the apostle is referring to different classes of people, high and low, kings and those in the lower class. There shall be a people from all nations. The apostle John has seen it on the island of Patmos. Oh, in glory, a multitude out of all nations, all peoples, clothed with the long white garments with palm branches in their hand, singing the praises of the Lord. We read in Revelations 19 and 20 that there shall be small and great, all young and old. And then the crucial question is, shall we be among them? Are we among them? Has that wonder of free and sovereign grace taken place in our life? Oh, then in the scripture it is clear that not all people will be saved. Think of the first world. There were 8 souls that went in the ark, and among them there was a Ham. Then we read so often in the scriptures of those that went lost further. Then in the scripture, what a separating word. Because in the scriptures we read of the marks of grace of those that have been wrought upon by the Spirit, with their desires, with their longings, with their riddles, with their perplexities, and with their struggles, and also how the Lord leads that people. Oh, think of the preaching of Jesus. What a separating preaching. Think of the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And then further, the intercessory prayer of Christ is so clearly declared in John 17. I pray not for the world, but for those which thou hast given me. And now concerning the mediatorial work of Christ, then it is the question, and then it is clearly declared that Christ has come, as I read in Matthew 1 verse 21, for his people, and in John 10, for his sheep. He has come for his chosen church, and for those only. And if Christ had died for all people, then he has also died for the reprobate. And to that end, the instructors have given a clear answer. No, only those who are engrafted into him. And that is our second thought. Only those who are engrafted into Christ. And that is against those that teach universal redemption. Those that teach that Christ has died for all men. And there are even those that go so far that at the end, that all men shall be saved. And now concerning universal redemption, concerning whom Christ has died for, then we come to the crucial point. Our instructors, they have not stepped over it. For whom Christ has died in congregation, then the crucial point is, and that is a crucial question that we may ask our fellow man who believe in universal redemption, that teach that Christ has died for all men, and then it depends on the free will of dead men whether he shall be saved or not. Then we may ask that crucial question, where lieth now the first cause of the salvation of men? Where lieth the origin? Liest that now with an almighty, a sovereign God? Or lieth it with the free will of men? And then to speak of grace, then there shall be many that shall have difficulty to exclude God, and yet there are many and those that believe that fallen man has power to choose to believe for his salvation, then they deny that a triune God is the first cause, the origin of man's salvation, that the origin lies in that never-begun eternity where a triune God has counseled. No, not as Arminius said, because he also believed in predestination, but then he has described it so, and it can lie so close together if we would read the third, the fourth article of the remonstrance, then there wouldn't perhaps be many that would say, so orthodox and so sound, and yet the language which they have used declared that they were leaning another way. Oh, those that believe that it depends upon the feeble will of dead sinners, then let us ask them, how was it now with the thief on the cross, ready to drop into hell, and that he is still mocked with the Son of God, that he has reviled him, and then suddenly, then he has spoken, has first become silent, dost thou not fear God? And then he was given to speak, we indeed justly, but this man has done nothing amiss. Then let us ask concerning Saul on the way to Damascus, who was the first in his life with the letters of persecution in his pockets. Ah, then it is clear it was the free and sovereign grace of God that as Saul was arrested, that he was turned, who art thou, Lord, and what wilt thou have me to do? And now concerning the doctrine of universal redemption, that Christ has died for all people, and that it depends upon the will of man to choose to be saved, to accept, to appropriate that sacrifice or not. Oh, already in the early ages of the church, there was a Pelagius. He was born approximately 350 after the birth of Christ. Born in England, has come to Jerusalem in the year 400. Was a man that had a life according to the scriptures. But what did Pelagius now teach? In the first place, that man is not born with original sin, but as a blank piece of paper, neither good nor evil. In the second place, then he is taught that man was created to die even before he has fallen. In the third place, then he is taught that dead man has power to choose for his own salvation. And fourthly, that Jesus was born example, then a savior, and that heir of Pelagius in the providence of the Lord, then the Lord is raised up in Augustine, who was given to defend the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, no, not denying the responsibility of man, and that doctrine that has been set forth by the remonstrance, and that continues unto this very day. And the remonstrance, then what do they teach? When Christ has died for all men, and that it is up to dead men to choose whether to be saved or not to be saved, then in the first place, then they deny the sovereign election of the Father, that the Father has chosen a church from eternity, a church that shall be given to his dear Son upon the accomplishment of his labors in the state of his humiliation, and a salvation which shall be granted in a state of exaltation. Then in the second place, then they count the blood of Jesus unclean, because that he would also have died for the reprobate. In the third place, they deny the deep fallen Adam. And in the fourth place, they deny the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit. Concerning the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, it is against our proud flesh. It is against our reasoning, but it is a doctrine that humbles man to the lowest, and God is glorified to the highest. And now, congregation, concerning these matters, what a questions there can be in the hearts of young and old concerning the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. And it can lead, it can lead to discouragement, that we think it is not for me. Young and old, let us be honest. What a questions there can be in all the hearts concerning that doctrine of free and sovereign grace, also concerning election. But we must remember that our instructors in this Lord's Day, they have not begun with election, but they have spoken of the fruits of the work of grace by the Spirit in the heart. What a questions there can arise, that if I am not elected, then I could always be in church, always read my Bible, pray continually, and I shall not be saved, and that is true, congregation. But let me now ask you, if it was now not free and sovereign grace, then what? Then we could go home, because a dead sinner in sins and trespasses shall never be given to ask the Lord, shall never be able to stretch forth a hand of true and saving faith to receive the things of the Lord. And let us always remember Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. We have mentioned it in this morning, that the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the revealed things unto us and our children, that we may remember his word to do them, thus young and old. Because it is free and sovereign grace, therefore it is possible for us and our children. And the Lord has promised to bless his word, that it shall not return void unto him. And the Lord has even promised in Proverbs 18, verse 7, those that seek me early, they shall find me. And it is true. There is a people that also are the nominal Christendom. They take those texts and they can believe of self. But the Lord has a people that also runs stuck with those texts. And why? Because the Lord commands a perfect seeking in thought, word, and deed, and the Spirit teaches his people that it is all polluted with sin. For the church of God, that becomes the wonder of free and sovereign grace. The church is given to be wonder. Lord, why hast thou begun that good work in my heart and passed so many by? That is the bewonderment of the church. But now, what does the Lord say now unto us in this evening concerning these matters, concerning the saving of our soul? Listen, young and old. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. As I live, saith the Lord God. Thus the Lord is given to swear an oath. And then the Lord has said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Do you hear it? That the Lord, that is his revealed will, that the Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And then the exhortation, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And now the answer, no, only those who are engrafted into him. Then it is very well possible that our boys and girls do not know about grafting. Then it can be that you have an orchard man with different trees, let's say apple trees, and that the orchard man has a tree that bears apples that are very bitter, that do not taste good, that do not look good, but that the orchard man also has other trees in his orchard that bear very sweet, good-tasting apples. And then it is possible that such an orchard man, with a pruning knife or with shears, that he cuts off a branch from that good tree, and that he takes that branch and that he goes to that tree with bad apples, and that he cuts most of those branches off, and that he makes a V in the trunk, and that he places that good branch in that bad tree, and then eventually that tree will bear good apples. That is what the instructors are speaking of, and that is what we have heard out of John 15. But the grafting of that our instructors speak of, and of what we read in John 15, that is opposite of the orchard man. Because the engrafting of the husbandman, and that is the Father, then with the pruning knife of the law, then he goes to Adam, a bad stock, and he takes a branch out of that stock, and then he places it in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it shall bear a good fruit. That is what our text speaks of. And then our boys and girls can understand that it shall never happen in an orchard that without the orchard man, that a branch severs itself from one tree, and that it jumps over to another. That shall and never has happened. Then you need an orchard man. And so we have heard out of John 15 that the Father, the husbandman, that he takes now a branch, a dead sinner, a fallen sinner, a fallen son and daughter of Adam that never bears any good fruit, and that he cuts that branch off, and that in the moment of regeneration, that branch is engrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it begins to bear good fruit. Oh, and then in grafting, then there is much instruction. Let us first sing. Psalter 250, the stanzas 2, 4, and 5. O Lord, with joy my heart expands before the wonders of thy hands. Great works, Jehovah, thou hast wrought, exceeding deep thy every thought, and what follows. 250, 2, 4, and 5. know only those who are engrafted into him. And then it is clear that such a branch is passive. Has it become our desire that we may be such a branch? Then it is needful that we faithfully place ourselves where the husbandman has promised to work. Romans 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the late Reverend Velkamp, he has stated in his catechism, carelessness concerning searching the scriptures is the death of the church and the triumph of the Antichrist. And now concerning that grafting, when do you think is the best time, boys and girls? When do you think is the best time? Can never be early enough. The best time is when we are young. Oh, may the Lord work lovingly, irresistibly, by the Holy Spirit, and that it becomes evident. May the catechism classes also be blessed to that end. Oh, may the Lord grant a rich year, because young people, when that wonder takes place, and then we cannot give it a name, but we shall experience wonderful and amazing things, new desires and new longings. But older ones, it is still possible. Oh, I have read, think it was Luke Short, that in England, he has left England under a sermon, Reverend Flavel, from 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Made no impression. He went to America. He prospered at 100 years old. He was still healthy and had a clear mind. And then it was the Lord's time. Then the Lord has converted him when he was 100 years old and he was yet spared to speak of the free and sovereign grace that the Lord had sought out Luke Short, for a Luke that has never sought after the Lord as elderly ones, keep a begging and keep a praying. And now concerning that grafting, Thomas Boston, in his book Fourfold State, it's a good book for our families to read. Then concerning that mystical union of Christ, then he has spoken of 12 steps concerning that cutting off from the old Adam and to be placed in Christ. Of course, in the moment of regeneration, then that renewal, that engrafting takes place. But now from man's side, in the way of experience, and the Lord is free. The one quicker than another. But then he speaks of 12 steps. Tell that branch, always speaks, that that branch is still hanging onto that old stalk, the little piece of bark. But then finally the husbandman, then he makes that severing stroke, and then he may receive a place by the exercise of faith concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning that engrafting, then we can understand that such an orchard man, boys and girls, that after he has placed that branch in that other trunk, that he does not leave it, but that each time by renewal, that he comes to examine that branch, whether that branch is taking the juices, the sap, out of that new trunk, whether that shoot is growing. And now further, then that branch needs much a pruning concerning justification and concerning sanctification. Oh, what a branches need to be pruned off. The self-righteousness, the pride, the list is long. And now concerning that pruning, then there are many trees when you prune them that they begin to weep. And that is not strange for the true child of God. And oh, what a begging there can be that they ask the Lord that this branch, that that branch is spared. But the orchard man, he prunes according to his wisdom, and what is profitable for the branch. And we have heard it out of John 15. Concerning that branch, that it needs to be pruned much, that it may bear forth more fruit. And now the orchard man, then he comes to examine that branch oftentimes. And what an encouragement that can be for the true child of God. But now concerning that fruit, then it is not a fruit of that branch, but it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in this chapter, John 15, that herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and that fruit, that is what the Spirit teaches his child. No fruit of self forevermore, but that it is only fruit through that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, in natural life, then it can be that the orchard man comes to closely examine that shoot, that branch. There's a people upon the earth at times that are given to believe that it is for them also in church. And now in natural life, there are times that that grafting fails, that the orchard man is given to see, oh, he has done his best. He has made a V, put that shoot, put some grafting paste around it, but that the orchard man is given to see that the branch is dying and soon it is dead. But concerning that heavenly husbandman, he is always successful because it is the work of an almighty and merciful God. Oh, it is true. In the way of experience, the true people of God know of those times that they are fearful, that it shall all come to naught. Because we read in Isaiah 42 verse 3 that the Lord has promised that a smoking flax, that he shall never quench it, and that the broken reeds, that they shall not be broken. The Lord is the Alpha and the Omega, and he has promised that he shall never forsake the work of his own hands. And now, young and old, then the all-important question is, has that now taken place in our life? That engrafting, do we know something of the pruning knife of the law? Have we learned of those new longings, those new desires? And have we learned that from our side, it is forever lost, and the necessity to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, our last thought, we shall leave it for the next time, the Lord's willing. Oh, I read in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of the only hope for us and our children. Thou hast appointed the means of grace, and thou hast promised that thou shalt bless them, Lord. We humbly beg of thee, wilt thou richly bless them to the hearts of young and old, and where thou hast begun that good work, that thou wilt further it. Lord, we may commence another week. May thou preserve us in our going in and going out, that the sun shall not smite by day, nor the moon by night. Take us under thy good care and thy kind protection. Remember in the home, at work, at school, on the way, wherever we are called to be, grant a prayer for one another. And then by renewal we beg of thee, when the catechism classes may resume, ah Lord, that thou may grant a rich season, that the seed of thy holy word, that it may indeed fall upon well-prepared hearts, and that many by thy grace may be engrafted into thee, may it be carried upon the wings of prayer. Return us now safely to our dwellings, and pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 439. The third stanza, whom have I, Lord, but Thee on high, and none else on earth can satisfy. But Thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning, for Thee my troubled heart is burning. And what follows, the third stanza of Psalter 439. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.